on to the next case, which is United States versus Peng Yang.
May it please the court. My name is
Just James. Wait until we get to see here.
Sorry. May it please the court. My name is James Graham. I represent the appellant, Peng Yang. This is an appeal regarding a matter of first impression, depending on how the court views it. The government, in their most recent brief, in their brief, went ahead and basically indicated that they now believe that it could be a regular border search case. This is a case where an individual goes through airport security from an international flight. He goes through various different checkpoints from customs inspectors. He gets through that. He then goes into a general area where all kinds of normal travelers are at the airport. His cousin is later stopped. They find drugs on the cousin. They find out that the cousin is, in fact, traveling with Peng Yang. They go over to a domestic flight terminal. They go ahead and they take Peng Yang's baggage off of the airplane that he's about to fly out of. They approach him in the terminal. They take him out to the tarmac, and then they basically ask him whether those are his bags. He says yes. They basically put him in handcuffs. They put him in a van. They take him back to the international area. They put him in a room. They search his bags. They take a portion of the material in his bag. They go ahead and test it, and they find opium.
It would be interesting how you sort of look at these cases through what happened on 9/11. What would have happened if the officers would have... apparently they knew he was traveling with somebody, correct?
They went ahead and...
Some people knew he was traveling with somebody. And when they checked the first... They cleared him. They checked the person he was traveling with. There they discovered the drugs. What if they had discovered an explosive device of some sort?
Well, obviously things may change after September 11th.
Really, the legal issue shouldn't change, whether this is a permissible search or an extension of a border search, but how can we not look at these cases a little differently?
Well,
post 9/11.
There's a few things. Number one, in the Terry cases that the government's arguing, there are circumstances where if the officer is either expecting the individual to flee or feels that he is personally in danger, neither of which was the case here. The case law basically indicates that he should get the ability to go ahead and search that individual. And maybe the idea is to go ahead and search him right there at the terminal.
You make a distinction I don't understand the stiff clothing and the drugs, but apparently it's undetectable with x-rays.
What happened is that the clothes are soaked in opiates, and so it's stiff clothing.
It's not like having a block of cocaine.
Correct.
It's a way of transporting something that's not detectable with an x-ray or just a cursory search or whatever they do at the border.
I guess the question on it is whether or not if they opened the bag and looked at the material.
That was a more detailed search, wasn't it? Wasn't he randomly searched?
The cousin,
yeah.
Li Yang, was randomly searched.
A more thorough search than just the routine.
Correct. There were two interviews of Peng Yang, and then he went through an agricultural search, where I think that they looked to see whether or not there were fruits or vegetables that he shouldn't be bringing in. They went ahead and had his bags go through x-rays, and then they cleared him and put him into the airport. So I guess the question on it, in part, is where this stops. Mm-hmm. Where the extended border search stops.
And the new question, as Judge Evans raises, is, and if there's an undetectable, I don't know enough about the technology, but something plastic that is an explosive that it doesn't get detected in an x-ray, and then someone finds with a random search, hey, look what we have here, this could explode, and it wasn't detected. He was with so-and-so. Now, does that go to an extended border search only for something that endangers, I guess, the point where...
Well, I mean...
Are drugs exempt from that?
The appellant's not arguing that an extended border search doctrine should be adopted by this court. But under Terry, if an individual is stopped and he is expected to either flee under the case law or the officers feel that they are personally in danger, neither was the case here, they can go ahead and stop him, they can search him, and they can search his bags, which could be the distinguishing factor in our case. There are three issues, basically, one of which is whether or not this is in some way a border search.
Now,
a routine border search. Now, obviously, the government didn't argue that below. They conceded that it was not a routine border search below, and Judge Leyenweber, after that concession or during his orders, talked about the fact that he didn't view this as a routine border search. And obviously, one of the issues for having a routine border search is searching the person at the first available opportunity, and that was not done here. Obviously, it was cleared through customs. There are special rules for individuals that are flying into the United States. They have no protection at that point when they first are at that international border, but that was not the case here. This individual was cleared through customs, and therefore, after that, they should have had or required to have a reasonable suspicion under Terry to approach him and to question him. But I'd also like to point out here that they didn't really question Tang Yang. What they did was they asked him to come with them. They asked him whether those were his bags. They put him in handcuffs. They took him a mile back to the international customs area, and they went ahead and searched his bags. The bags weren't even with him when they approached him. They were the ones that took them off of the airplane. They put them on the tarmac. They bring him to where the bags are, and then they go ahead and ask him whether or not those are his bags. I mean, it isn't as if it's a search incident to arrest or anything.
What is, I think what we're talking about here is possibility of an extended border search.
Well, the government in their brief argued that after finding a couple of cases, one in 81 case and one in 96 case, that this is could be viewed by this court as a routine border search.
I think what's bothering Judge Mannion and me and perhaps Judge Roldner, but what's bothering me at least, I'll speak for myself, is that we're talking about the Fourth Amendment prohibiting unreasonable searches and seizures. And when we're talking about airports and luggage, is the definition of what is reasonable influenced, should it be influenced by 9/11? And if so, how? Or shouldn't that be a concern at all? We're talking about airport searching of luggage at an airport.
I think that this distinguishing factor is whether or not there's something in the baggage that the suspicion is that it's something violent or that the individual is going to run away. I mean, this individual was standing there, he was cooperating. It's clear from the evidence that there was that he wasn't going to flee and that he had nothing, there was no overt violence intended.
But it wouldn't violate the Constitution if they would have taken all the luggage off, not knowing anything about what happened here. They would have said, we want to check all this luggage by hand. So we'll pull all the luggage off that plane, we check it, we find the starched clothing in there, trace it to this fellow, and charge him with a drug offense.
They'd have to obviously go to a court and get an order to do that, unless they felt that...
To search the luggage on an airport?
Mm-hmm.
Just simply for something like drugs?
No. They want to search luggage. When you drop your luggage off at the airport, you're consenting to a close examination of what you're going to pack on that airplane, and perhaps an even closer examination in light of 9/11, aren't you?
Well, I guess the rules have changed to some degree. This obviously was a case where an individual flew in September of 1999. And I guess what I'm arguing is that the distinguishing factor should be as to whether or not there's some sort of violence or intended harm to other individuals on the plane or to the officers that are approaching the individual. That's how we would suggest that the distinguishing factor be done. The other points on it, we've talked about the extended border search. Obviously, this is not a doctrine that's been accepted by the Seventh Circuit. There are three factors that are involved, or at least the Fifth Circuit and other circuits have recommended or suggested that the three factors be done. I see my time is up. That there was a border cross, and obviously there was. Second of all, that it's clear that the bags haven't been changed or affected in any way, and obviously these bags were out of Peng Yang's control. They were on the plane. They were not with him. And the third of which is whether there's reasonable suspicion that criminal activity is afoot. And obviously that's another factor that we're disputing.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Steiner?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Deborah Steiner on behalf of the United States. No matter what analysis is adopted by this Court, the search of Defendant Yang's suitcase can be upheld as reasonable under the Fourth Amendment under a number of different analyses here. As the District Court found, the search of his suitcase was supported by several distinct facts which were testimony at the suppression hearing in the District Court. And I do want to clarify what some of those facts were because I think there may be some confusion. Peng Yang and Li Pao Yang arrived on an international flight from Laos connecting through Tokyo and arriving at O'Hare. The two arrived together and were first seen by Inspector Markosik, who directed Peng Yang to the Agriculture Division of the Customs Inspection and directed Li Pao Yang to a secondary inspection area.
Does everybody go to agriculture?
No.
So this is extra.
That's right, Judge. The testimony at the suppression hearing was that various passengers are coded for different types of inspections upon arrival, and Mr. Tang Yang's card was coded with an A, which indicated that he should proceed to the agriculture inspection point. At that inspection point, his suitcase was x-rayed, and then he was cleared through customs. The suitcase was not opened, was not searched. Li Pao Yang, on the other hand, was designated for a secondary inspection, where his suitcase was, he was questioned by a customs inspector, and his suitcase was opened and it was searched. And during the opening and the search of that suitcase was when Inspector Erickson Bell discovered that certain of the clothing inside the suitcase was stiff as if it had been heavily starched. It's the government's position, and I believe it's supported by the evidence at the suppression hearing, that that search was routine. The search of Li Pao Yang's suitcase is a routine border search requiring no suspicion. It was based on a random selection for his suitcase to be searched. As a part of that inspection, they learned that Mr. Yang had traveled from Laos. They learned that he was traveling to St. Paul, Minnesota. Inspector Markosik became involved at that point, and he had some very important experience from the government standpoint, and that was in the Foreign Mail Department at O'Hare, where he had personally participated in a total of between 14 and 24 different opium seizures, all of which originated in the Laos area, and all that he could remember were destined for the St. Paul, Minnesota area. So based on what Inspector Markosik knew, he believed that he had seen another passenger traveling with Li Pao Yang. Li Pao Yang was found with drugs in his suitcase. They were traveling from a source country. They were traveling to a known destination for opiates. And based on all of those factors, Inspector Markosik approached his supervisor and suggested that they go to the American Airlines terminal to find Mr. Tang Yang. Prior to doing that, they did confirm with Li Pao Yang that he was traveling with another individual. They also confirmed with American Airlines that Li Pao Yang and Tang Yang had the same flight itinerary. After driving to the American Airlines terminal, they requested that Tang Yang be paged after locating his suitcases, and the inspector then noticed Mr. Tang Yang sitting in his seat, and the testimony was that he was hunched down as if trying to avoid being seen.
He was paged?
I'm sorry?
He was paged,
Your Honor. Paged over the American Airlines.
He didn't respond.
He did not respond to the page, and in fact, the testimony was that he shrunk down in his seat. Now, the government believes that even though the defendant had left the international terminal, he had not left the border. And this is the argument to which Mr. Graham referred. The border is not a line, it's a zone, and I think the case law supports that type of analysis. It's the government's position that the airport is still part of that border.
Here's the problem. You conceded below that this was a non-routine search.
There was a filing in the district court, Judge, wherein we said that we were arguing to support the search based on the extended border search doctrine. However, the court can review the record de novo and support the search based on any basis that's found within the facts of the case before, Your Honor. And I believe that under the facts and evidence that were developed in this case, that this search is reasonable under the Fourth Amendment, either as a routine border search requiring no suspicion whatsoever, or as an extended border search, which does require reasonable suspicion that criminal activity was afoot.
Let me ask you this. Why didn't the agents just search Mr. Tang Yang's luggage on the tarmac?
After they had found Mr. Tang Yang,
mm-hmm.
rather than going back to the international terminal.
Yeah, wouldn't that have been much less restrictive? See, what I'm a little worried about is that you seem to be arguing that handcuffing during Terry stop is the rule now, rather than the exception. Are you arguing that?
I don't think it's the rule, Judge, but I believe that the Seventh Circuit that has held that it can be permissible. Not that it is permissible, but that handcuffing may be appropriate in a Terry stop if its duration is for a short period of time. And I believe in this case, the evidence was that he was merely handcuffed for transportation back to the international terminal. And the record is not clear about whether or why they did not actually search the suitcase there on the tarmac outside of the American Airlines terminal. However, if I recall correctly, Judge Leinenweber did ask one of the inspectors a question about that, and I believe the answer was our offices were back at the international terminal, and it made sense to us to do that there.
Well, it adds a further wrinkle, and that is, would wrinkle just third shirt, I guess, would it? It caused him to miss his plane. There's no question he's going to miss his plane.
That's correct, Judge.
He got the luggage off. If it's been, maybe it's impossible to search on the tarmac. I don't know much about that, but it would seem a little awkward. And then, obviously, when you're transporting him, I think it's just a rule. When you're transporting somebody, you got a driver, you handcuff for safety. That might be just a separate ingredient. But he's going to miss the plane. Now, is that still okay for an extended border search?
Well, the government,
or whatever you're arguing.
Yeah, I think under either analysis that's permissible. First of all, under the routine border search, there's no question when individuals are stopped at the border, they are detained for some period of time under the routine border search, and it is possible that a connection could be missed because of that relatively brief detention in order to search their luggage, which I don't think there's any question under case law they have permission to do. So under the routine border analysis, I believe that they also would have been able to detain him for a brief period of time in order to conduct that routine search. Now, under the extended border search doctrine, because they had reasonable suspicion, which is the same standard we see in the Terry cases, I think as in our 28J letter that we filed last week, there is no question that a Terry stop is an involuntary stop that occurs for some brief period of time. And in this case, that brief period of time may or may not have caused him to miss his flight. And I don't believe it's clear from the record that he was ultimately for sure going to miss that flight had no drugs been found. I don't think that timing was ever developed fully. He was approached at the American Airlines terminal between 30 and 45 minutes after Li Paoyang was first searched, which was not an extraordinary amount of time after Tang Yang had cleared customs. It's not clear from the record how soon their flight to St. Paul, Minnesota was to leave.
But the baggage was on the airplane.
The baggage was on the airplane.
Obviously the plane is there.
That's correct, Judge.
You're getting ready to go.
That's correct, Judge. According to the affidavit of Tang Yang, he had checked his baggage at the actual terminal gate when he arrived there. So it's the government's position that even if this court doesn't believe that this was a routine border search requiring no suspicion, that this was certainly a search that can be supported by reasonable suspicion based on a number of facts that I already indicated to Your Honors. And those are, again, for reasonable suspicion that they were arriving from Laos, a source country, they were traveling, that Tang Yang was traveling with Li Pao Yang, drugs were found in Li Pao Yang's suitcase. They were both destined for St. Paul, Minnesota, which according to Inspector Markosik's experience was a known destination for opiates. And the additional factor that is part of the record, which is that Tang Yang...
Could all that luggage that pulled off the plane and checked?
Judge, I think if there were a... I don't know that all of it could have been pulled off based on the reasonable suspicion that had to do with Tang Yang in this case.
No, it's not, nothing to do with Tang Yang.
Okay.
You're at O'Hare Airport and you got luggage on a plane and someone says, let's pull all that luggage off and hand check it.
I think that...
Is that unreasonable?
It's the government's position that a passenger who's flying on an airplane gives implied consent to have their luggage searched for safety reasons when they board an airplane. And I believe that it would be reasonable for airport personnel to search luggage based on safety reasons, that is, for explosives, as Your Honor mentioned earlier. However, I don't know that it would be reasonable to pull every suitcase on an airplane in order to search for drugs unless there were some more particular suspicion related to that. So the government would request that the court affirm the district court's ruling in this case.
Thank you. Thanks. Case will be taken under advisement.